Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. And welcome to episode 208, the process episode. I spent a lot of time talking about this quilt I'm working on, the Modern Quilt Guild Challenge, Riley Blake Creative Rockstar. This is, it is a challenging challenge, and it has certainly been challenging for me, but I have this sense, poking around on Instagram, that it's also been challenging for other people. I see that a lot of people have gone to secondary Riley Blake fabrics. You can use the fabrics in the Creative Rockstar line. We were sent, those of us participating, were sent six fabrics, fat eights, and it's hard to say eights, yeah. Anyway, fat eights. And but there certainly is a wider range of fabrics in the line, as you might expect. And so, again, looking around on Instagram, I see that people have gotten other fabrics from the line. People have gotten solids. You may use the Creative Rockstar fabrics as well as any Riley Blake solid. And so people have, yes, been dipping into solids. I have been dipping into Riley Blake solids to make this work. It was challenging. I almost think the challenge may have been designed to force you to buy more Riley Blake fabric. This is just a guess. This is a conjecture. I could be wrong, but I think I'm right. Anyway, we've got several quilt diaries for you coming up. So I think I will keep this introduction brief. Just say hello. I'm glad you're here. And let's get on to the first quilt diary. Quilt diary day one. It is Wednesday, March 30th. March has gone fast this year. Does March go fast every year? Maybe it is. Maybe it's just one of those fast months. May is a fast month. July is like a really slow month. July, is it the slowest month? We know that April is the cruelest month. July is possibly the slowest month. But now it's still March, almost April, still got a few days. Let's hold on to them. Let's live every moment. Yeah, so I am working on the Riley Blake Design Modern Quilt Guild Challenge. It's been an interesting ride. So last we spoke, I was doing some stars and paper piecing them, English paper piecing, loads of fun. I'm still paper piecing, still doing diamonds because you know what? I cut a lot of diamonds. I sewed up a lot of diamonds. And then yesterday I was like, these stars aren't working. This is supposed to be a modern quilt guild challenge. And these look like very perky traditional stars. And there's the modern traditional category, which the Modern Quilt Guild does acknowledge. Probably invented. No, they didn't. So it's not that, but, you know, I want to do something, I don't know, fun, I think. Just something that I would feel good about. I actually started videoing my process yesterday. Or I got the idea to do this, to document the process using pictures and video, because I was at that point where I'm like, this isn't working out, but I haven't totally destroyed everything I've done so far, so why not take some pictures and take some video, and maybe I can put together something about the process, like a very short video about the process, whatever this quilt ends up being. It could end up being a pile of scraps. In a plastic bag shoved under my sewing table. But yeah, whatever it ends up being. But I thought it might be interesting because the way that I create in almost any situation, not just a quilting situation, certainly a writing situation, sometimes a dinner situation, making dinner situation, is really off the cuff. It is improv. It's not what we think of as improv in the quilting world, which is taking scraps and shapes and improvisationally piecing them together. But it is improv in that I have an idea and I play around with that idea and try. It's maybe we should call it What I Do Jazz Quilting. Wouldn't that be horrible? Hi, I'm Frances. I'm a jazz quilter. But it is that idea of you have a theme. You have a series of notes. You have an idea that you play with and you explore and improvisationally you build a quilt. The quilt often does not appear to be improvised, but it is because it's just made from one idea built on another idea, built on another idea, but certain things staying the same, right? So in jazz, it would be a certain phrase that of music that is repeated and returned to and exploded and distilled, right? And so it's the same idea. And so in this case, I've got this fabric, the Riley Blake fabric, and I've got a lot of diamonds. So whatever I do, it's going to involve diamonds. And that's, you know, I mean, obviously, well, I could iron out the diamonds and make little squares, but I'm not doing that. We're using the diamonds. Diamonds are us. All right, I just realized I had my record level up really high. So if that all sounded quite loud, that's why we've lowered it a bit. I noticed that in the last podcast. When I was working on the introduction, that the recording levels were really, really high. I think maybe I accidentally did something. So anyway, so if I sounded super excited and loud, that's why. Also, I'm kind of excited and loud right now. It's just me and Travis in the house, and Travis is in the other room. Although once he hears me speaking, if he's not deeply into his nap, he'll wander in to sit with me. So I've got this Riley Blake fabric. I've got diamonds, not going back on the diamonds, not going anywhere else. I will say my friend Kristen sent me her Riley Blake fabric when she realized she probably did not have time to do this challenge, and she liked the idea of the fabric being used in this challenge. So now she has no guilt about requesting the fabric. The fabric will be used. So where I was yesterday when I decided to document, I said, this isn't working, but I haven't torn it apart. So let me document right now what I have, and then I'll document the process. By the end of last night, I had deconstructed my stars, a few of which I'd actually sewn together, had pieced together the whole unit. So I had an actual star. Some of the other stars were just loose diamonds gathered together, conferring on my design board, but had not actually been attached, formally attached to one another. So that made life easier. This is a lesson learned. Okay, I do everything backwards. I'm a slow learner, blah, blah, blah. But I learn a lot of lessons as I, you know, proceed to mess everything up. And one lesson to me is don't sew things together until you absolutely have to. Just wait. You don't have to sew those diamonds together. They adhere to the design wall perfectly well on their own. Yeah. So I deconstructed diamonds, and then I just started playing around, and I thought, well, maybe I'll still do stars, but maybe I'll try this and I'll try that. And I actually got some blue fabric from the Riley Blake collection. And because you could use solids, you could use their solids. So I did get some Riley Blake solids, a really pretty kind of, well, it's a kind of almost a cadet blue. That's what I think of a cadet blue being. It's a darker blue, but not a navy blue. And I would say it has a touch of gray in it. So I did a bunch of those diamonds and then like made a star and then surrounded it with blue diamonds. Like that would be the background of the, you know, the night sky, and that would be a nice texture, but no. And I took a picture so you can see really how awful that looked. And by about 11 o'clock last night, I'm doing argyle. I'm like, maybe I'll do Charlie Brown's shirt, you know, like the zigzag. And I'm like, maybe I'll do an argyle sweater. What can you do with the diamond? And so I just got to this place because, you know, I mean, I kind of trust myself to get someplace that's not too horrible. But, you know, and I also, you know, I trust the process. And I also believe this. If something ultimately doesn't work, say if I ultimately do not make a quilt with this fabric and you know, that just doesn't happen and it is, in fact, a fail. I am a big believer that failure is often followed almost immediately by some sort of success. You get something out of that process. I think I've quoted this before. It's not a direct quote. It's a paraphrase of a William Carlos Williams line from Patterson, in which he says, "No failure is ever comprised completely a failure. It always opens a door to something unexpected." And I believe that to be true. And there are times where you get to a point in a project, whether it's a writing project or a quilting project or a cooking project, I don't know, where you just say, I give, this is not happening. And it feels depressing, and you think about the amount of time you have spent. And obviously, with quilts, you think about the amount of money, although hopefully at least some of the fabric can be reclaimed for another project, although now you hate it so much that you don't want to reclaim it. But and it's depressing. But it's interesting, too, how you start something a few days later and it comes together in this amazing, unexpected way. And I think that happens over and over. So I try not to let myself get depressed when I'm looking at something going, this isn't working. And here's the thing. So this is a challenge. Riley Blake Designs sent out these fabrics. There are, I believe, four oranges. I am looking. Am I correct on this? Oh, I've got Kristen's fabric still neatly tied together. There are three oranges. One is what they're calling a geranium, which, you know, I think of geraniums as being red, but it's true. It can be also be like a dark orange. So a geranium orange with small, very small polka dots. It's darling. Then there is the same geranium red, but it is the background is white, and then it is crosses of varying sizes. So that's the second fabric. The third fabric is also a white background with a geranium red print, which is, if you would imagine, long triangles. I can't think of if the long ones are isosceles. It has a narrow angle at the top and sort of outlined. So like so imagine this long narrow triangle in geranium red, and then also a bit of a space, and then an outline, an echo of that triangle. So those are your oranges. Only one can be read as dark. Only one can be read as a solid. The blues, and I can't remember what the blues are called. All right, the blues are called aqua. So it's a very greenish blue. You could actually call it a bluish green. And it's my aqua. I think of aqua as being bluer. And this is, you know, my first thought is like, oh, it's like an ocean blue. So it's a muted grayish bluish green, right? It's pretty. And there is the one that reads as a solid is this isosceles triangle. I don't know if it's isosceles triangle. I like saying isosceles. I'm not sure if that's right. Then a white background with these aqua, with aqua letters saying, I don't know, creative rock star, creativity, creating, create, wild mind. Oh, one says consume. Nice. I don't know. So it's all this language on there, right? And then the third one is white background, horizontal lines of different lengths from about a quarter inch to maybe an inch, sort of piled on top of each other. They're very cute fabrics. So they're lovely. So I don't have a problem with the fabrics in and of themselves. The issues for me is, one, I really don't use a lot of prints. And two, here you have six fabrics, fat eights, I think, and only two are solid or dark or dark-ish or will read as the dark fabric in this collection of fabrics. And the other four are light. You know, They have white backgrounds. They're really light. So there's kind of no medium. And they're also, obviously, they're part of a collection. They play very nicely together, but they're not quite, not that, I don't use collections, right? So for me, I'm going, there are a number of problems. So do you mix and match? I tried that a little bit. I don't like the mixing and the matching of the aqua blue and the oranges. The mixing and the matching of the lighter prints, it's like it's too busy. So it's again, I know that there are people who are going to do amazing quilts in this challenge, mixing and matching all these fabrics in amazing creative ways that would have never occurred to me. So let me go on the record saying that. That is a true thing. I'm going to go, oh my goodness. You know, and that's great because I love being surprised and delighted by other people's creativity and what other people can do, even when it makes me think, you know, I'm not really all that much. Because it's okay. You don't always have to be all that much. But so for me, I feel like this challenge is very challenging because I got these fabrics. How do you mix and match? And believe me, I feel like I've tried every way and I brought in a new fabric into the mix, which is this darker blue solid. So last night, I'm doing the Charlie Brown zigzag. I'm doing the Argyle. I'm just going, whatever. Whatevs, dude. I'm just throwing it up there because that's all, at some point, that's all you can do is throw it up there and hope something happens. And the funniest thing happened is I put two diamonds, same fabric, end to end so that their little points are meeting. And you know what that made? It made like a little butterfly. It made like a little, actually more like a little bat, like an orange bat with white polka dots, little white polka dots. And I thought, that's it. This is what I'm doing. And to be honest, if I were still getting ready to go on the road with birds in the air, this would be a birds in the air quilt. Here's the funny thing, is earlier yesterday, I was looking at some book on Amazon, and I don't know why it came up. I mean, obviously it came up because of other books that I've been looking at, and it's like called A Simple Year, something like that. It's actually not about simplicity. It's more about living out your faith in you know, a radical way, which, believe me, I will never do. Maybe I will, but right now, not happening. But anyway, but I really liked the cover, but I could, you know, and so, and but I looked at it like at 9 a.m, right before I got to work. So, and by me, I got to work, that I turned off Amazon Prime and clicked into Microsoft Word and started writing. So here I am at like 11:15 and my bedtime is 10:30 and I'm got this bat, this orange bat on my design wall. And I thought, this reminds me of something. And I thought, it's that book cover. Well, the book cover actually turns out to be sort of like a you know, a grayish background and actually has flowers, like imagine, let's just call it like a purple daisy, which I think is another way of saying echinacea flower, like a cone flower, flat. So you're looking at the flower right in the eye, but there's maybe 15 just over the surface of this solid background. And there was something about it. I know the way that I'm describing it, you're like, oh, tell me more. I can't take my eyes off of it. No, but there was something very pleasing about it. It was simple and pleasing. And I'm not going to make echinacea flowers. But thinking about it and looking about it and thinking about my little bat or butterfly, I had this thought, origami birds. So, of course, it could be origami birds in the air. I'm not ashamed. I can make another birds in the air quilt. I'm not done with Emma and her crew. In fact, I'm like 105 pages into it, and I know who done it. That's where I am in Stars Upon Stars, which is the sequel to Birds in the Air. A little advertisement in there. Coming to a bookstore near you sometime in late this year, we hope, but cannot guarantee. In any event, so I thought, origami birds, origami birds. And, you know, I looked up origami birds images, and they actually kind of have diamond wings. So this is what I am doing now. All right, back up. English paper piecing. When you English paper piece a diamond, you have on either point a little tail, right? From folding over your fabric, you have a little tail. It's very cute. You could imagine like a, not a kite string, but a little kite tail. That's kind of what it looks like. That's what we're going to call it, a kite tail. If you put two of these things together with one little kite tail sticking out a certain direction, so you have your diamond wings and a little kite tail sort of pointing up and out or out and up, it does look like an origami bird. Enough so if you call it a quilt origami birds, you would go, oh yeah, that does look like origami birds. There are a lot of different ways of doing origami birds. And one way I messed around, I have some small diamond templates for paper piecing now. And so one would be to cut that diamond in half and you could create some more shapes. And I thought, you know what? I'm just not made of time. I'm just not. I think I like this. It's simple. I think it works. And so it will be, I'll be making more diamonds. Although Lord knows I have a lot of diamonds. I did order some more fabric. So Riley Blake, I am doing what I swore I would not do when I began this challenge, which was to buy lots of fabric. But I'm doing it. And I haven't bought that much. I bought this a couple solids, this blue and a lighter blue solid, which I probably will use actually, and have some solid birds throughout, and a geranium red. And so I have spent, that was probably about, with postage, probably about $20 worth of fabric. And I just ordered 2 yards of their solid white. And so, you know, and I want to make this a big quilt. So 2 yards is going to be 6 feet long and whatever, 44 inches wide. Probably not quite that. But so I'm going to make it a big quilt because I'm into big quilts now. Big quilts are my thing. My chair quilt, I think, is going to be really big. I have, I think, all my chairs finished. They are on the sheet that I hung behind my design board. I haven't actually done what I've thought, what I plan to do, which is either get another design board or else just get a huge amount of flannel and just tack it on. The only problem is that there is, what is that called? Not a rail, but you know, so this is the living room, dining room, and the wall from the ceiling comes down about, let's call it 4 feet, and then there's a railing that goes and separates, and so, you know, what is that called? Someone knows. Quilt and Jenny, do you know? Tell me, what is that nice little completely, I mean, it's great. It's a nice decorative touch. It has no function, I don't think, except perhaps to keep furniture from being pushed all the way back onto the wall to and hurting the paint. Could that be, you know, a possible function of that? But anyway, so I have the sheet hung up and there is that rail. We're going to call it a rail until Jen tells me what to really call it. And so like, my chairs are actually sticking to the sheet, although it's just a cotton sheet. It's an old cotton sheet. They're adhering to it without any need for pins, except when you get to that rail, because that makes this little bump come out. So that would be the only thing about actually just having big sheets of flannel strung across the wall. That would be the argument for getting another design board. So I might. In any event, so that is probably right now looking over at my chairs, and I think I'm done cutting. I have appliqued a couple chairs now onto a white rectangle. The trick with this will be once every chair is appliqued is then sewing everything together and getting the spacing just like I want it. And I think I've been so obsessed with this challenge that I'm so enjoying having these chairs up on my wall. It's possible it will be the quilt that's never made, and I'll just leave the chairs up forever and ever. But right now, if I go over, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how high these ceilings are. They're high enough. Are they? What would be a normal height? Not super high ceilings, but not low ceilings. What would be 10 feet? I could go stand. Is it twice? I'm 10 feet, maybe? But whatever it is, that sheet runs the length, but I don't have a row of chairs down on the very bottom. So we're going to call it 6 feet worth of chairs. Let me see. If I stand right here on this chair, yeah, it's probably about 6 feet worth of chairs. It's probably about 4.5 feet wide. Yeah, and that could, once I applique all the chairs, it may get wider. I would like it to be a little bit wider. But I am enjoying looking at the chairs. There's part of me, it's funny because I always have that thought, well, the next step is a step where you could actually start messing stuff up. I'm like, and I could just make more chairs because I'm really good at it now. But yes, so big quilts, just to change things up a little bit. And also, you know, I enjoyed seeing the big quilts at QuiltCon. So this is going to be a big quilt too. And then yes, it is going to be a flock of origami birds flying from one end to the other, which I understand is not the most original concept in the world, but you know, I just want to be pleased by it. I want to look at it and find delight. And now, right now, I just have 3 little origami birds up there, and I find them delightful. I actually have my design board for a while. It was behind the dining room table, but you know, and I spent like hours last night crouching behind my dining room table. And I'm just going to bring it out here into sort of the, what we would call the short part of the L, which is sort of the what I really call the front room. So if you're all familiar with the setup here, it is the living room, dining room wing of the house. That makes it sound very grand. It's just the living room, dining room area, which is my suite. Except for Christmas and Thanksgiving, no one else hangs here. Well, Will comes in and hangs out with me sometimes, but otherwise. But yes, yeah, so this is on the short end of the L, and I have dragged out my board, my design wall. It is on its side, and yeah. So that's a thought. If I'm doing it sideways, does that matter? That the birds will fly horizontally? I don't know, but that's how it's going to work right now. So my 3 little birds, they're sitting here, and that was sort of a treat when I took a break from writing this morning. Instead of checking Instagram, I just went over and put up a little bird, but I've only done 3. And I like them, and let's hope that, I don't see why, there's no reason why this should not, well, no, don't say that, that'll jinx it, but this should work out, and I think I'll be happy. And this is better than the Charlie Brown shirt. And it's also, sad to say, better than the stars. When this goes up, this I don't know. Obviously, I have no idea where I'll be with it by the time this podcast goes up, which it'll go up next week. But you will see where I am. And you can tell me what you think. And I assume that I won't be so far along that it will be too late for design suggestions, but I'm always open to design suggestions. So that is where I am. I feel like I've really talked for a long time. And now I'm going to get back to work quilting. And at some point I'm going to lift weights, and I'm going to take a shower. And then it just gets into the rest of the day when the children come home and demand to be fed and then don't really like what I feed them. That's always fun. I enjoy that. They're not bad, but they're not huge enthusiastic eaters unless it's, you know, takeout food. If it's pizza or cookout hamburgers, they're very excited. But otherwise, it's just food. It's just food. They eat food all the time. No big deal. All right. Yes, so I'm going to get back to my designing, but I just wanted to walk through that process with you. We will see if I end up doing a full process video. I really like that idea of somebody, and now I'm trying to think, who was it? Who was it that recently they linked onto the Twilcher site to their blog, and their blog post was about making a quilt, and I think it's a quilt they made their daughter-in-law. And they really talked about the process of making this quilt and putting it together and quilting it. And I really enjoyed reading it. It was just like the biography of the quilt. And yeah, so I love process stories. And as you know, someone, it sounds funny to say, someone who's interested in creativity, but I think about creativity. And because I think we're all happier when we're being creative, whether that creativity plays out in the sewing room or the kitchen. For some people, they have such joy in cooking. there's probably a cookbook for that. And then, you know, and there are people who, you know, scientists and researchers who, and some are being very creative in the lab, because creativity really at its root is about problem solving. But they're good problems. They're the good problems to have. You know what I mean? So and I'm just interested in how the imagination works and how the mind works. It makes leaps, and, you know, you make a mistake or you just goof around after a long day of working and poke two diamonds together and look, it's a little orange bat on my design wall. Oh, I can do something with that. Oh, that makes me think of this book cover I saw earlier today. Oh, that makes me think of origami birds. And that I just, you know, so it's not really, well, now this is starting to sound like I am so fascinated with how my mind works. And it's not so much that as how the imagination works, because it's a little bit of a mystery. All right. I will be back later. I hope you will too. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Friday, March 31st. I'm sitting here with Travis. We have the porch door open. It's raining, so it is safe to have the porch door open because the pollen is a little bit tamped down. I would sit on the porch, and I'll walk out so you can hear the birds and also the morning traffic, except for the pollen. I think if I sat here for 5 minutes, I would be covered in a layer of green dust from the pine trees. It's all kind of disgusting. It feels like you're living in the green dust bowl, and nobody likes it. And people, this is just it's a hard time of year for all of us here in North Carolina, and I know other parts of the country as well. But when it's over, I'll be able to wash my car and enjoy the beautiful spring weather. Not that the weather affects me whatsoever, and I wouldn't complain about it if it did. Anywho, why am I posting this morning? First of all, it's 9:30. I'm still in my jammies because it turns out on this lovely rainy Friday morning, my children don't have school. I was not aware of this until last night around 10 when I went into the study, the sort of the man cave of the house, to ask Will if he'd done his homework, because I hadn't seen him go upstairs with his backpack. Usually he's got baseball now, so he does his homework after dinner, and he usually has dinner and maybe goes checks out some sports news on the computer, because that's pretty much how he spends his day, reading sports news. And then he grabs his backpack and goes upstairs to get to work. And I realized I hadn't seen him do that. I thought, well, is it likely he has no homework? So I went to check, and I said, Will, did you do your homework? And he said, well, we don't have school tomorrow. And I turned to Jack, and I said, is that true? And he said, that's true. We don't have school tomorrow. I'm like, is this something you two have cooked up together? Because I wouldn't know. And so I went and checked the school calendar. Not that I really didn't believe them, but I just want to confirm that for myself. And true enough, they do not have school today. And on the one hand, that was sort of some late good news, because I'm so lazy. I love to sleep in. Even if sleeping in is just sleeping until 7:30 or 7:45, I really enjoy it. But I was also a little disappointed because I didn't get the psychological pleasure starting on Monday, thinking, oh, it's a short week. Oh, they don't have Friday. They don't school Friday. And I really enjoy that because I am that lazy. You know, and my children are old enough now. I mean, they have been for a long time, where, you know, a day off of school doesn't make me go, oh, I'm not going to get anything done, because they just go and do their own thing. So... But I was like, oh, I wish I'd known, and I really would have enjoyed that. I would have enjoyed waking up yesterday and thinking, well, tomorrow I can sleep in. But nonetheless, it's very delightful to be here on this rainy morning with my little puppy, who would like to go out for WALK and is not going to get to. And just being lazy, I am hard-boiling some eggs, and that's going to be my breakfast. I just don't feel like cooking. I'm in a non-cooking mood right now. I'm never in a huge cooking mood. Mostly I don't mind cooking. It can be kind of nice and meditative, but I think what I really don't like is the planning, and I do menu planning. I plan the week ahead before I go to the grocery store, which I will do today. And I will work today. It's not like I get a day off today. I get a day off from dropping off and picking up, and that's always a treat. So I will work today. I will do my chores today. I will do my grocery shopping today, which I usually do on Fridays. It's just nice when I get home from grocery shopping that I'm home and I can work on quilts. All right, there are a couple reasons I picked up the recorder this morning to talk to you. Very nice thing happened last night about 11:30, which is that Bonnie Hunter posted about birds in the air, both on Instagram and on Quiltfill. I suspect she has that set up so all the posts coordinate, post one place and shows up all the others, and posted she's halfway through and really loving this book and la la la. Very nice. Now, I had sent her a copy late last year after someone had mentioned Birds in the Air on the Quiltfill site. I suspect it was one of you. And so I just thought, well, this is a good opportunity to contact her and say, hey, someone mentioned my book on your site. Would you like to read it? And she's quite lovely and responded right away, I mean, within an hour or two, and said, sure, she would love to read it. So I sent it to her, followed up about a week later just to make sure she'd gotten it. And she said she had, and she'd read the first chapter and really loved it. And so all was good. And I, you know, hadn't really thought about it. I think I probably once or twice thought, I wonder if she finished the book. I wonder if she hated it. And that's why I've never, you know, she's never mentioned it again. And once you have that thought, it's like, well, I'm not going to email her and ask. But then last week, a friend of mine emailed me and said, oh, you know what you should do? You should send Bonnie Hunter a copy of Birds in the Air. And I was like, well, I kind of already have. So I thought, bite the bullet, check. If she doesn't like it, she doesn't like it. But so I either emailed her or Facebook messaged her. And she got back right away and said, I'm halfway through it. I love it. And I was like, oh, great. Well, that's great news. I hope you enjoy the rest, Francis, kind of thing. So then last night, about 2:30, I get up because I'm 52 and I get up and I can't get back to sleep. So I came downstairs to eat a banana and I tapped the phone and there was an Instagram notice that Krista Watson had mentioned me in a comment. And sure enough, there it was that Bonnie Hunter had sort of blurbed Birds in the Air. And Krista, being lovely, said, tagged me and said, oh, and I can't wait for Francis's next book. And Bonnie doesn't know me as Off Kilter Quilts, so Krista tagged. Very nice. And then this morning I checked, and yes, it was on Facebook too, and getting lots of likes. But why I'm really bringing this up is not to brag that Bonnie Hunter likes my book. I was so moved. So there are about 30 comments on the Facebook post. And there are comments from people like Jody saying, oh, this is a great book. Jody, who listens to this podcast. Oh, this is a great book. I love it. You'll love it. Someone wrote, well, I can't find it at my library. And Tanisha, Crafty Garden Mom, pops in and says, get your library to order it. This book is independently published, so maybe you need to ask your library to order it. Someone else said, oh, I wish it was on Audible. And Laura pops in and says, oh, you should listen to Off Kilter Quilt and hear Francis's voice. I heard Francis's voice while I read. Sort of like almost as good as an audiobook. And so I'm talking right now about this because I was so touched that people had my back, that Tanisha and Laura and Jody and Krista had my back and said, yeah, this is great. Oh, yeah, you should read this. Oh, get your library to order it. Ah, it's almost as good as an audiobook. And I just continue to be overwhelmed by people's generosity. So I wanted to say thank you to all of you, and certainly to Jody and Krista and Tanisha and Laura and everybody else who has come in and made comments and shared links and just been really kind. It really touches me. It really moves me. So that was a nice way to start the day at 2:30 a.m. And I did fall back to sleep. My goodness, we've got texts coming in. I'll check in a moment. The other thing I wanted to tell you. So last night, I finally got to work making the back for Stellar, a.k.a. the Graphic Star Quilt. All I needed to do was frame that block, that improvised block, with white fabric, and it would be done. I had to work out the math, which in some ways is very easy math, but I am not a very easy math doer. So I actually had to draw a picture so I would be sure to cut correctly. And I did. I'm happy to say. Of course, I sewed one piece on backwards because, not backwards, upside down. Something like that. Yeah, upside down. But I do that. That's to be expected. But that I got the math right was, I felt really, really proud. But you know, when I finished it and I looked at it, I'm like, this is not a back. This is a quilt top. And I would actually like to make it bigger. So right now it's the block, it's the white fabric. And I would actually like to do some more borders, I think in solids, but maybe another red border. Well, not another, but a red border. Who knows what, I'll have to try to match the reds. And then maybe a dark gray border. And I really like that idea. But I really felt looking at it. And one of my first thoughts was, oh, you know, how's this going to look when the quilt is quilted? I mean, I haven't decided. I'm sorry. I'm froggy. It's allergy season. Okay, I've gone to cough. I hope I'll be better. I haven't decided how I'm going to quilt the quilt. And of course, if I just were to quilt it doing some straight line quilting, it might look fine, but the quilting is really going to be to the specs of the front and may not do anything to enhance this back, which is why this back needs to be a front too. So now I have three quilt tops. I'm becoming one of these people. I'm going to start sending out to long armors, which kind of sounds fun to me. Like, here, you do it. I mean, I love machine quilting, and I am cheap. So I probably won't send out to long armors, but part of me is like, oh, you know, because I saw a lot of really good long arming at QuiltCon. There's some just some beautiful work. I was like, this is very tempting. But yes, now I'm becoming one of those people with lots of projects and now lots of unquilted quilt tops. But yeah, I think I'm going to do that. So, you know, I have been inspired by Sean Kimbers, who you know for the I Can't Breathe quilt and various wonderful quilts. I really like her work a lot. But I was reading, I don't know, it was an interview with her, and she talked about, you know, her quilts take a couple years. And I thought, you know, I have a tendency to want to get done and to move on to the next thing. And I'm fairly good, although not so much recently. No, I am fairly good about finishing things. I don't have a lot of unfinished projects. I right now have a lot of projects going on all at once, but I'm pretty sure I'll finish them all. And yes, and that this idea of taking a long time to work on something and giving it time and not feeling like I need to finish now. You know, that's not a bad idea. So I'm going to try not to worry about it. Now what I have to do, of course, is come up with two backs, one for Stellar, one for this improv medallion, which I don't know what I'm going to call it. Maybe I'll call it Stellar Improv. Could be graphic improv. Maybe not. Yes, so I've got, in fact, I may treat myself to a trip to the Scrap Exchange today to see if they have anything. I don't think I'm going to do a minute improvisationally pieced back, you know, but if I can find four or five pieces of fabric that I could sew together and would look kind of cool, I might do that. But yes, so now I have more quilt backs to make, more quilting to do. But you know what? I feel right about this because I like it. And I think it would be really cool with some more borders. And, you know, right now I'm all about the big quilt. I just am. I don't know why. Just want to do something different. Tired of making the same size quilt all the time. All right, my eggs have been hard-boiled. I must go to attend to them immediately. I will talk to you more later. Quilt Diary Day 3. I'm mostly making this quilt diary because I realized I need to get this episode posted tomorrow, or I could do it tonight, really, we'll see, if I want to keep on my two-week schedule. Didn't that used to be a 10-day schedule? Yes, it did. Next time it might be an 8-day schedule, a 13-day schedule. I don't know. I'm like Audrey Hepburn in Breakfast at Tiffany's. Holly, go lightly. What will I do next? Who knows? I don't. In any event, if you go to Off Kilter Quilt, well, if you go right now, you're going to find the show notes. But I did do a blog post last week, process post, on the Riley Blake Challenge. And I'm about to do another one. I meant to do it like in the last couple days. It's been a little bit crazy. I don't even know why. Maybe because I'm Holly Go Lightly and things are just crazy and whimsical. Or maybe it's because it's spring. I can't decide. In any event, I do want to do a second one because I have made progress on this quilt and I am interested in documenting the process of the quilt. So hopefully, so if you go, I would think by the time this is posted and you actually listen to it, that you could go and part two of my process blogging will be up about this quilt that I'm looking at. It is on the design wall, which is now leaning against the chiffrobe in the front room. Chiffrobe is a grand, grand word. This is something we bought at a furniture store. Kind of a nice-ish furniture store. It's like over in Raleigh on Glenwood Avenue. There are furniture stores where you can get, for us, nice furniture. I went to a friend's house the other day. This is my friend Kim. Her son Henry is in 8th grade. Great kid. If I find out that he's not actually a great kid, I'm going to be absolutely heartbroken. I think he pretty much is. And good friends with Will, plays baseball. Kim and I have been friends for a couple years now. And I enjoy talking to her. I lean a little progressive. Kim leans a lot conservative. So we have great conversations because we like each other and can argue our ideas without thinking the other person is horrible. I suggest everyone try this. In any event, I went to her house. Now she's interesting. I think she may have been a Spanish major and an art history minor, but for a while, I know that her work was in art galleries, and she has some sort of art background. And I'd been to the first house that they lived in when they moved here, and she has some really great pieces of art. And now they're in this lovely house closer to us, but I'd not been. And so I went to pick up Will. Will was over there the other day, and I went. She said, "Oh, come in and have a quick tour." Lovely house and really great furniture. Now, Kim, this is, I mean, and we could have a whole discussion about the topic of domestic creativity, which I think includes really paying attention to your house and being creative when you go buy furniture. And she and her husband, they go to auctions, they go to estate sales. She is a bargain hunter. So she will really look for stuff and wait for stuff and get the best price and buy old pieces and have them refinished. And so they had grown up furniture. Maybe you have grown up furniture. Some people do. We kind of do, except that all our grown up furniture is really, at this point, old. The best pieces we have are the really older antique pieces that we've bought, and we don't have a ton of them. So if you're like us, we're not rich now, and when we got married, we had $0. $0. And so you just collect stuff piecemeal, and then it's fine, it's functional, and and at this point, like, I love the idea of going to estate sales with Kim and buying stuff, except I don't really need anything, right? And I'm sending a child to college next year. And yeah, so I look over, I'm looking to my right, and I see the bookcase there. It's a small bookcase. Got it at Target, like in 2001, 2002. It's holding all my quilting books. Looks nice to me. Don't feel a huge need to replace it. So I'm kind of cool with what we've got. We do have a few nice pieces of art that we've splurged on over the years. We've got a few nice pieces of furniture. Some of it's just like I'm looking, and there are sort of the foyer. There's a I can't remember. Oh, it's got a name that it's gosh, why do you listen to me when I lack the words for what I want to say? Is it a dresser? It's not really. It's a chest of drawers, but it's like got a serpentine shape. I should take a picture and put it in the show notes, and then someone can tell me what I'm talking about. But in any event, a few Christmas ago, my parents are always very generous at Christmas, and they send us Christmas checks and say, spend it on yourself, spend it on something fun. And so I thought, I really want a piece for the foyer. So I went to a local higher end antique store in town. And I found this piece and I really love it. So, and it will hold up because it's already held up for a good 75, 80 years. And, so anyway, but it's so interesting to me to go to people's houses where they have decorated and done it well, done it in a way with personal style and really interesting, good pieces. And again, she's got great art, but I feel like a little kid. I'm like, oh, look at that. Look at how the grown-ups live. And I was, and Will and I were talking about it because one of the things that kind of we are a family, we stick things on the wall, by which I do not mean that we hang things on the wall, though we do hang things on the wall. But I've got some potatoes in the oven and I fear one may have just exploded. Let me go look. Nah, they're okay, but I probably can turn off. I'm doing this thing with potatoes where I microwave them for 5 minutes and then brush them with olive oil and salt them and then bake them for about 30 minutes. So it's a great thing to do if you have forgotten to bake the potatoes. And I didn't actually forget to bake the potatoes, but they actually taste great. I think it's the olive oil. It makes them nice and crunchy. Anyway, Will and I were talking about, I think on the way home, you know, just talking about how great our friend's house was. But yeah, I said, yeah, we just live in a house where people stick stuff on the wall. So yeah, it was like walking when I walked to check the potatoes over by where my sewing stuff is. I've got pictures of quilts and they are taped to the walls. I use blue painter's tape so that it doesn't pull the paint off the walls. But we all do it. The man does it in his study. It's like a boy, you know, Jack doesn't bring home stuff to hang on the walls anymore. But you know, when the boys were little, he'd just get out a thumbtack. You know, they'd bring home a great piece of art, or Will did a lot of drawing when he was a little kid. Man, get out a thumbtack, put it on the wall. I don't know that grown-ups are supposed to do that, but we do. Anywho, so don't have a shift robe, really, but it's a, you know, it's where you put the TV. No, is there a TV in there? Yeah, actually, my mother-in-law's TV is in there now. I don't watch TV on it, but anyway, that is... This is a really long digression to say that my design wall is leaning against the shifter robe. It's not really a shifter robe. And no, I don't live in a grown-up house. Sorry. So yeah, it's sitting there. And yeah, so I'm going to... So, yeah, I am off topic. See, it's crazy. Will, the eighth grade, and Will is a member of the eighth grade, have gone to the beach. Although he says, don't call it a beach trip. It's a science field trip. And they've gone to the ocean to run scientific experiments on the ocean. He was not looking forward to it because you know what, Will? Introvert, like the idea, like I have to be out of my house for 3 days and sleep with other people and eat other people's food and use the bathroom that is not familiar to me. I don't know if that's actually an introvert thing. The being out of the house with other people for 3 days causing panic to ensue, that's an introvert thing. But the other stuff is just maybe it's a family thing because... I'm like, yeah, honey, that would be all I need of hell, too. But, yeah, so yeah, Will's gone, and he comes back tomorrow, thank goodness. Jack spent all day at the Full Frame Documentary Festival in Durham, which is a big international documentary film festival that's, I don't know how old it is. I feel like it's 15 or 20 years old. It's been going on for a while. Somehow... because he's a senior at our fine school, he was able to just sign up and go. So he spent the day watching documentary films and wandering around downtown Durham with his friends. The man is still at work. Yeah, it's April. There's pollen. We're all a little nutty, except for Travis, who just sits and naps. And yeah, it's a good dog. He's a good dog. So hopefully by the time you listen to that, that might have been my point of departure. Who knows? I will have posted the second process post. My goal with this, I ran out of Easy Seam 2. Is that what that's called? I just got some today. I need to get everything secured to the background fabric. And then I need to applique all these pieces to the background fabric and not forget to use stabilizer, which is a good thing when you're appliquing, as I've learned. And the other night, I was so happy. I got like 4 chairs appliqued to the white background fabric. And then when I finished, I thought, oh, these look a little puckery. And then I realized I forgot to use the stabilizing fabric. And yeah, you want to use that. So anyway, I need to applique these and then quilt. So my hope is that a week from now, so this is Thursday, by the way, April 6th, 2017, a week from now, or by next weekend, I hope to be in a position to quilt this. The deadline is April 30th, so we're well within the parameters of getting it done, having it done, by April 30th, but it would be nice to be quilting it. I also have at this point, 800 projects lined up behind it. I have other things to quilt. Still haven't taken the machine in, although I did. It was great. I watched and listened to the most recent Stitch episode with Pam and Lynn. I think last weekend. I think it was Saturday. So it's actually, you can actually sit down and watch it like you're watching TV, like Netflix. But I was listening to it and playing around with this quilt, and it was quite fortuitous. Their subject was cleaning your machine, and so I listened to them and did a good cleaning that I could do. I still need to get the machine serviced, but it also made me feel a little bit better because I feel like one of them may have said, yes, you should get your machine serviced every year, but they might have gone 18 months to every other year. So if we could do it every other year, then this summer, I swear, I will take it to Raleigh, take my machine to Raleigh and get it serviced while we're at the beach. I promise I will. Hold me to that. In any event, yeah. But I do have a lot of quilting to do. I guess that's why having my machine serviced is on my mind, because I would like my machine to not break down in the middle of the quilting. But yeah, so I that is my goal, to have this ready to quilt by next week. I do at this point have two other quilt tops. I can't remember if I've told you this, but I made the back. Have I told you this? I don't know. I'll tell you now. I'll edit it out if I didn't tell you. If I told you before, I can't remember. I do know that I spent. No, I don't think I've told you this. I spent last Saturday. I didn't spend the whole day, but I did Friday or Saturday. Said I'm going to finish up this back for the Stellar quilt, aka the graphic star quilt. And because I'd had this centerpiece done, right? And this kind of improvised centerpiece done. So I added the white fabric to it. And then I looked at it, I'm like, oh, this is a quilt. This is a quilt top. I should not use this as a back. This is a top. So yeah. So I need to now also quilt that. I did go to the Scrap Exchange on, let's call it Saturday. Went Saturday and found some good lengths of fabric that would not perhaps be your necessary first choice for the backing of these quilts, but it works. And quite frankly, I just don't want to spend $60 to do a fabric, to do a backing for a quilt. I just don't. Sue me. Sue my people. Sue my management. That would be the man. Anyway, so hopefully the next time I will talk to you, this quilt, which the Riley Blake quilt, which I may call Flock, but I don't think I will. I've sort of been thinking of it as Swarm. It's not a swarm, and swarm has such negative connotations. I don't know what we're going to call it. We're going to call it something, girls. We really are. But my hope is next time I talk to you, it will be done. And I've got some great ideas for quilting it and that are not wildly complicated. So more on that next time. All right, let me finish up by saying thanks to everyone who commented either on episode 207 or the process post on the Off Kilter Quilt blog. Thanks to Patty, to Suzanne. Thanks to Katie from Quilting Daydreams, to Andra, to Jay. Thanks to Noni, Tammy, Kelly the Fifth, Quilt and Jenny, Jenny, Sharon D., and Mary Lou. I appreciate you taking the time to stop by and leave a written comment. I know the rest of you are commenting in your heads. I hear you. But, think about writing it down sometime. If you have not signed up for my newsletter, the Quilt Fiction newsletter, which is called Quilt Stories, please do so. Go over to thequiltfiction.com and sign up, and you will get access to a free short story if you do. And, and I'll love you forever. So there's that bonus as well. All right, I will see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.